Okay, tonight is Monday night, October 28th, or 25th day of the month of Cheshvan. This is the Gemara Shir, Masech HaSukkah, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis.
Okay, Rabotai, from Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and we started last week analyzing the Mishnah, which stated the number of sounds, blasts, that would be made in the Mishkan and the Mikdash with the Chatzotzros. And if you remember correctly, we mentioned last time, the Mishnah had stated that on Erev Shabbos, they would blow a series of blasts as well. And we're going to further analyze this particular halacha based on the fact that the Rambam has chosen to record this halacha not in one location, but in two locations. And the Rav has always trained us to think that if the Rambam goes ahead and quotes it in two different locations, there's got to be a reason for it, because he didn't care about people who had a shvacha cup. That if he didn't remember what he said somewhere else, that's not the reason why he's repeating it six books later. So if you take a look at the first sheet, which we have, page number one, where the Mishnah said that they blew Erev Shabbos, six. Shalosh lihi batel is amu malacha, v'shalosh lehavdil min kodesh l'chol. So, if you remember correctly, we'll reread the Rambam, and then we'll see it elsewhere as well. This is Perek Hey of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Yutes. The Rambam writes, Kiyah Rishona, the first Kiyah, Nimnu'u ha'omdim basadot bilacharosh mila'ador. People in the fields would cease engaging in plowing and other types of melacha. Umila asot melacha shebesada. And to avoid all field-related activities. The fields were at a distance from the home, and as a result, they had to allow time to get home. So they were the first ones to stop. Vein hakrovin v'sha'im likanes la'ir. The closer ones, those who live closer to the city limits, are not permitted to leave their posts until the ones who live a greater distance had reached them, in order to make sure that the ones who come home from the outside have some escort and don't have to walk alone.
Rashaim means permitted?
But they are not permitted. They're not permitted to leave. They have to wait until the other guys who are further out come and join them. Stores are open and the shutters are still on the ground. They're not on the window. They begin blowing a second set of blasts. The shutters have been moved and put on the windows. And the stores have been locked. Still, the chamin, the stuff, the hot soup and kugels and the pots are still on top of the flame, al gabe kira, on the oven. Hischil is called kia shlishis. They would blow a third kia, saleik hamisaleik, vehitmin hamitamein. They would now remove anything that had to be removed. They would wrap anything that had to be wrapped in order to maintain its heat. V'hedliku v'saneros, and they would light the candles. V'shoeh, and you wait k'day litzlos dog katan, to the amount of time it would take you to roast a small fish, ashtikel herring. O k'day lahadvik pas b'tanur, or the amount of time it would take you to, in effect, be madbik pas b'tanur, to have the dough stick onto the walls of the oven. Vitokeya umeria vitokeya vishoves. Then they blew a tekiah through a tekiah and they ceased doing malacha. This is the Rambam and Hilchos Shabbos. This is where you would expect it to be recorded, because as opposed to everything else in this Mishnah, which we studied, where did they blow every other, what other activity was accompanied by chatzos? What types of activities were accompanied by chatzotzros? What?
Karbanos.
So where are you going to find those? In Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. In Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, that's where you would find those tkiyos. But these essentially are not related to Mikdash. They're not. What are they related to? Shabbos. So the Rambam puts them appropriately in Hilchos Shabbos. However, turn to page number 2, flip the page. The Rambam codes this halacha in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, halacha Vav. And the Rambam writes, I bracketed it for you. Be'erev Shabbos, Mosifin Sheish. On Erev Shabbos, 6 additional blasts took place. Shalosh lahavtila sa'am min amalacha. 3 what? To have people stop doing work. Vishalosh lahavtil ben kodesh lachol. And 3 what? To indicate that what? Shabbos has arrived. Very nice. And the question is, why does the Rama put this in Klei HaMikdash? It's not a Mikdash halacha. It's a Shabbos halacha. All the others which are done to amplify the Shira of the Korban belong in Klei HaMikdash. Because they are a Kiyum Mikdash. This is not a Kiyum Mikdash. Why does the Rama have to tell them what the Rama is quoting in here for? So the Rav suggested that the Rambam is teaching me something here which will serve as the basis of a very, very famous Bahag. Extremely famous Bahag, which I quoted to you in Shulchan Aruch. Namely, we posited last week that the Rambam, according to Rav Chaim, against the Vilna Gaon, believes that there is a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos every single Shabbos. There is a mitzvah of Tosefes. That's how Rav Chaim understands the Rambams which we just read in Perakai of Hilchos Shabbos. Why is the last blast, the last set of 3, Tokeya Ringa, before sundown? Because he wants you to be Mekabel Shabbos early. However, there is only an individual. Mikdash always symbolizes the Tzibur. Mikdash symbolizes the Tzibur. Makom Kinufya, the place of gathering. The Makom HaMikdash is never to be viewed through the prism of a Yachid, but always through the prism of Klal Yisrael, of Knesset Yisrael. So if the Rambam is telling me that they blew the Shchatzotros, where did they blow these Shchatzotros? In the Mikdash, there must be a Kiyum Tzibur by blowing in the Mikdash these Chatzotzos on Erev Shabbos. What is the key of Mikdash? That Klal Yisrael, the Tzibur, is now being told against their will that they have to be Mekabel Shabbos early. Against their will that they have to be Mekabel Shabbos early. And hence, because Klal Yisrael is generating Kiddushah in this world, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not technically mandate, if you were not Mekabel Shabbos early, and you wait until what time when Shabbos will automatically arrive? Shkiyas Achama. Because we are adding Kedusha in this world, that in itself is a wonderful, pleasant note, a pleasant thing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does it demand? Shir v'shevach to HaKadosh. Thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, that you have created a people who understand how important it is to endow the Chol with sanctity. Endow the Chol with sanctity. And when they blew this in the Mikdash, that was a symbol that Klal Yisrael had to accept Shabbos, not as a Yachid, but you were imposed upon as a Tzibur, to accept the Shabbos upon you. Does anybody ever hear of this place? Anything else? Anybody hear it at Halacha? The very famous Bahag quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Please turn the page to page number 3 for a minute. The Shulchan, yeah?
I'm unclear as the timing. What is the timing of Shkia related to these?
It came after everything.
Shkia came after everything. That's correct. Except, if you remember correctly, we learned last week, Rashi said that they blew the shofar at Seis HaKachavim. at the time when it became, when it let you know that if you do malacha at this point, there is what? A chiv skila. That was Rashi. Rashi was of the opinion that the sounding of the last blast took place at Seis to alert you that if you do malacha after this time, there's a chiv skila. Rambam clearly said it was kodim shetishkacham, before sundown. Because his purpose is not to alert you that what? That's correct. It's correct. So here there is a famous halacha quoted by the Mechaber. And this the Mechaber does sometimes. He does this sometimes. Not frequently, but sometimes. It's Perek, it's Simon Reish Samach Gimel, halacha Yud Beis, I bracketed it for you. Im rov hakahal kibluim hashabbos hamiut nimshachim achareihem be'al korcham. If a majority of a community accepts Shabbos early, the minority of that particular community are compelled to observe the Shabbos and cannot do any malacha after this point. This is a shita of the Bahag. The Bahag is not quoted frequently by the Mechaber as a source of halacha. As you well know, the Mechaber dealt with three major codes: Rif, Rambam, and Rush. Those were the three codes that he operated with in order to formulate his opinion. However, sprinkled throughout Shulchan Aruch are a handful of well-known shitot of the Bahag that have crept their way into Shulchan Aruch. One of them affects one person in this room. One person in this room. That has to be Unicham. When a Mechaber quotes the halach in Hilchas Megillah, citing Shitas HaRambam, that a man and women, a woman, are obligated equally in Kriyas HaMegillah, and that a woman can read the Megillah for a man as well. That's the halach. That's the halach. The Bahag, the Rambam, that's the plain normative halach. The Bahag said, however, women cannot be motzi men their obligation, because some little bird tweeted in the Bahag's mind that a woman is only obligated to hear the Megillah and a man is obligated to read the Megillah, hence her chiyuv is on a lower level. Nobody ever knows where did the Bahag ever figure that out. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Bahag. He quotes that Bahag. There is also another famous Bahag quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. It's a handful of halachas, they're very famous. In Hilchos Sukkah, we quoted one of them in the third parak of Sukkah. We paskin, like Chachamim, against Rabbi Yehuda, that lulav ein sorech agad. It is our practice that we take the hadassim and the aravos and tie them to the lulav. That's our minhag, because we like to make Rabbi Yehuda happy. Rabbi Yehuda says, lulav tzorach agad. The Chachamim say it's nice, but it's not ma'akev. The simple interpretation is that you have to take them at one time, but they don't have to be tied together. The Bahag said, what is it Bahag say? You can pick them up one at a time. Pick up the lulav, pick up the hadassim, pick up the aravos, pick up the esrog, you're still yotze. So a handful of famous Piskei Halacha of the Bahag have crept their way into Shulchan Aruch. This is one of the more famous ones. That if you have a community where there is one kihila, one shul, and that's it. That's it. If that shul decides during the summer to daven at 7 o'clock, no individual can do malacha after the tzibur has been mekabel Shabbos. None. And I'm pretty sure I told you the famous bungalow colony, tshuva of Rabbi Meisha. Famous bungalow colony tshuva. Where somebody comes up to the colony, and he comes up late. He's sitting on Route 17 traffic for 6 hours. He comes up at 7 o'clock. He wants to go swimming. Still an hour and a quarter left till Shkia. But the colony wants to daven at 7 o'clock. So they told him, sorry, we're locking up the pool. You can't go swimming because you have to accept Tosefer Shabbos. So they asked Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said the following. That the halacha of the Bahag is only if you do so l'shem mitzvah. You accept Shabbos early, l'shem mitzvah. What is the litmus test if you do it l'shem mitzvah? If you accept Shabbos an hour and a quarter early during the winter too. So when they turn the clock next week, and Shabbos starts at 4:30, and you'll start Shabbos at 3:20, then you're at tzaddik. Then you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. But if the only time you do it during is the summer, so you're not doing it for the mitzvah, you do it because you're hungry. You don't want to wait until 9 o'clock to eat. Because your boich is hungry, you can't compel somebody else to be mekabel Shabbos early. But fundamentally, Rav Moshe said, if there was such a thing as a community, this halacha would apply. Said the Rav, the makor of the Bahad is this Mishnah. When the tzibur blows in the mikdash, that is the tzibur's Tosefer Shabbos. The Beis Din in the Beis HaMikdash blows, the Kohanim blow, they tell the Kohanim to blow, and they compel everybody to be Mekabel Shabbos early. And in fact, proof to the pudding that indeed the sounding early generates Tosefer Shabbos, and that this is not all up in the luft and the air pollution, turn to page number 4 for a second, and we'll see an interesting Gemara Masechta Shabbos. No, he just goes to Bahag. He doesn't say why. I quoted two of them already. Didn't check the Beis Yosef. I didn't check. But we know for a fact that the Bahag, the Beis Yosef wrote. He doesn't say why. So, this is the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hey, about a third of the way down, is where you have the source of the Gemara, which the Rambam quoted verbatim. Tanu Rabbanan, Sheish Tkiyos, Token Erev Shabbos, and so on and so forth. But I don't want to look at that whole sugya, as we just read it in the Rambam. I want you to look at the bottom of the Gemara in the meantime, then we'll look at Tosfos here. Amar Rab Yosi, Barab Chanina, bottom of the page. Shomati, you have heard. That if somebody did not light their candles before the conclusion of what? Of the Sheish Tkiyot, it's okay. That's perfectly okay. Why? Shahare nasnu chachamim shi'ur lechazan hakneset leholich shofro lebeitav. The Chachamim have given latitude for the guy, the Shamus in the shul, who blows the what? The shofar, to be able to get home and do what? And what? And carry a shofar home. Because the Beit Knesset was always in the center of the town. He didn't live there. He had to go home for Shabbos too. So he would blow. And they gave him time, the amount of time for Shabbos took into consideration the time, the gap between the sounding of the shofar until he would arrive home. So said Rab Yosi Rab Chanin. Amalo, so the rest of the Chachamim said to him, Imkeina sata devarecha l'shiurin. That means, what happens if the guy lives a mile away? Next guy, next chazan lives 2 miles away. There's no objective criteria as to when Shabbos starts. What's going on here? How much time could that possibly be? It's too subjective. If he walks slowly or if he walks quickly, if he lives further away or lives closer. What does that mean? That there is still a amount. How is a person supposed to gauge whether Shabbos has started or not, and he will light the candles based on the guy's walking home? Well, if the guy lives 2 minutes away, you have 2 minutes. The guy lives a mile away, you have 18 minutes to light candles. But that's not an objective criteria to enable people to light candles. Ella, he changes it. Makom tsanua yeshlo lechazen hakneset barosh gago. Shisham meiniach shofro lefi she'ein metaltalin lois ha-shofar v'lois ha-chatzotros. What happens after he blows? They put a little box on the top of the roof where he was standing and blowing the shofar. And he put the shofar away right there and then. And he couldn't carry the shofar home. What? The last ones. The last ones. That the shot, the tekiah, right. Both. It says the chatzoitz, Rosh was in the mikdash, and the shofar was in the town. In the towns, you don't blow the chatzotzes, you blow shofarot. In the Beikdash, you blow chatzotzrot. So now I ask you, Rabotai, when he changed his mind and he said, no, it has nothing to do with this, so what did he now say? Shamati, what did I hear? What did I hear? I heard all wrong. You don't have enough time to what? To be Madlik Neirot. So what did they do? What did they do? They designated a place to what? To put the shofar in. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Why can't I carry the shofar home? I live a half a block away. Why can't I carry the shofar home? Why can't I carry the shofar home? Why? Because when I blew the last sounds, what happened? I imposed Tosefer Shabbos upon everybody. That's why the Gemara had to recant the story. The whole halach of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina was recanted. That he said, you're like, no, you're not allowed to be madlik anything. And the story you heard had nothing to do with what you told. Your conclusion is erroneous. Because they didn't allow the what? The Chazan HaKnesset to carry the stuff home. They told him, lock it up right up there on the top. They had a shirt. Why couldn't he carry it home if he lived 5 seconds away? The answer is, because once he blew that last sound, that created Tosefer Shabbos on the Kehillah, and he cannot do Malacha any further. So they just told him, put it away, Vizehu. The handling of the Shofar itself, that is not a problem. Shofar is not really, it's not something mukzah. It's a utensil. It's a utensil. So maybe it might be mukzah. But they're not going to worry about a mukzah situation. But to carry it, they didn't want to let him carry it. So again, this particular recanting of the story, which Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina heard, is now support of that particular premise that what we are dealing with is a compulsory Tosefer Shabbos. A compulsory Tosefer Shabbos. Yeah. Point number three of this Rambam. Now go back to the Rambam. Point number two of the Rambam. Go back to the Rambam, page number one. What? The roof is a Rosh Hashayachid. Now, but now to carry it home would be to carry. He can't carry it on the roof. Now comes the Rambam and he writes at the end of Halacha Chaf. The Rambam at the Halacha Chaf. The Rambam tells us when the blasts are blown. Tkiyah Rishayna Tokeya So B'Mincha. The first blast which tell the field people to come is Mincha. That's probably Mincha Ketana, 9.5 hours into the day. They blow the blast. Everybody start packing your bags from the fields. The Hashlishis, Karov Lishkiya Sachana. And the third one is what? Sometime before sundown. Now comes the Rambam, and many disagreed with him. V'chein Tokin B'motzoi Shabbos, Achar Tzeis HaKochavim, Lahatir Ha'am l'maaseyin. The Rambam says that they not only blew on Friday night, but they used to blow on Saturday night to announce you're allowed to go to the movies now. Lahatir ha'am l'malacha. You're allowed to be to go ahead and be mata malacha. Now, the Magen Mishnah says, and I didn't bracket it, but we're going to see the Gemara, which indicates why most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Most Rishonim disagree. So in order to see why they disagree, please now turn to page number five, to see why they disagree with the Rambam. This is the Mishnah at the end of first parak of Masechas Chulin, where the Mishnah made a blanket statement of a certain type of language. That whenever there is this, there is no this. Whenever there is this, there is no that. So there are 8 or 10 Mishnayos, nothing to do with Shechita in Chulin, But because of stylistically, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi edited all of these Mishnayos together. And the last one in this particular unit is the Mishnah which I bracketed for you. Kol makom sheyesh tkiya ein havdalah. V'chol makom sheyesh havdalah ein tkiya. Ein tkiya. Any time when there is tkiya, you know for a fact there is no havdalah. Any time there is havdalah, there is no tkiya. So the Mishnah gives an illustration. Gives an illustration. What does this mean? Yom Tov Shecholios be'erev Shabbos. If Yom Tov comes out when? On Friday, Erev Shabbos. Tokin v'lo mavdilin. When Yom Tov expires on Friday, we do not make Havdalah between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Even though typically we make Havdalah when Yom Tov is over. Here we will sound the shofar. Why will we sound the shofar? Because up until now, meleches oichel nefesh was permissible. You're allowed to cook, you're allowed to bake. And now that Shabbos has arrived, all 39 melachos are prohibited. So I understand why they did tekiah. And there was no havdalah. And vice versa. Vice versa. B'motzoi Shabbos, if Yom Tov comes out on Saturday night, mavdilin velo tokin. You make Havdalah, you say Hamavdal ben Kodesh l'Kodesh, but there is a Havdalah. You say Hamavdal ben Chobin, Hamavdal ben Kodesh, to highlight the fact that we are going from Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala. Yom Tov is not as severe as Shabbos. So we do, but there are no tkios on Saturday night, which comes out to Havdalah. This is what the Mishnah says. No tkios on that Saturday night. Says, so how do ordinary, what will Rishonim conclude from this Mishnah? What do Rishonim conclude from this Mishnah?
Since you make Havdalah every night, every Saturday night, you wouldn't build tekiyas.
Correct! That every Saturday night you make Havdalah and a no tekiyas.
Why would they assume that?
Because on Saturday night of Yom Tov, you make Havdalah and a no tekiyas. Why should I make a tekiyah? What's the purpose of a tekiyah? If when Yom Tov comes out on Sunday, I don't make a tkiya, even though there are certain malachos which you're still not allowed to do. Most of the malachos you're still not allowed to do. Even though I may have done. You're still not allowed to do the majority of malachos. But I don't make an announcement to highlight it. So, because once I've made Havdalah on a Saturday night, and I say, Hamavdu b'kodesh l'kodesh, what do we assume that every Tom, Dick, and Harry will want to figure out? Why did I say Hamavdal ben Kodesh l'Kodesh tonight and not Hamavdal ben Kodesh l'Chol? Because it's Yom Tov. So I will understand that certain melachos are still prohibited. But on an ordinary Saturday night, you make Havdalah. What will be the purpose of what? Will be the purpose of what? Of blowing the shofar. For what purpose? And in fact, this Mishnah supports the fact there's no reason to blow on a Saturday night at all. If you don't blow on a Saturday night when Yom Tov coincides, Kal v'chaymer, ben benoy shal kal v'chaymer, then an ordinary Shabbos, you don't blow shofar, or chatzaitzvah.
They're learning the purpose of the blowing is that we're going up in Kedusha, now down in Kedusha?
To alert you that there is, to alert you that there's an Issa Malacha coming. What's the purpose of the tekiyas? To alert you that there's an Issa Malacha coming. So on Erev Shabbos, Issa Malacha coming. On Motzoi Shabbos, I could have imagined that you should blow, because there is still an Issa Malacha coming. But you don't have to blow, because the announcement that an Issa Malacha is arriving has already been created by the Havdalah when you said, Hamavdal ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. So what do you have to blow for? So the vast majority of Rishonim disagree with the Rambam and claim that the Rambam is wrong, which he wrote in Hilchos Shabbos, which we just read, that you do not have to blow on Saturday night. They can't understand the purpose of the Rambam's blowing the shofar on Saturday night.
Where did you get it from? The Rishonim?
I don't know. I don't know.
So Friday night, you do... Where is the time frame to blow Friday night? I see on the Friday night. to Shabbos.
When? Same thing. It's a good question. You probably would not need the three sequences because there's nobody on the fields. You'd probably just need the last one to let you know. That's it. Shabbos is coming. No more cooking. No more carrying. No more kneading. No more baking. Whatever malacha samutta because of Eichel Nefesh. Eichel Nefesh. New. So if you're the Rav, you make a living. What do? Make a, defending the Rambam. So the Rav suggested the following. And this principle we've already seen in Masechah Sukkah. So I will try to flash your memory, and Howie will just flip his notes. If Daf Mem Ches is in the still same volume, which probably is unlikely. Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Go to Mem Ches Amud Aleph, Rabotai. You still got Mem Ches there? Probably not. Probably the other notebook. What? He's in the mind. He remembers it all. But he needs we all need flashbacks. That's why note taking is a great, great thing. I was a prolific note taker in the shul. About 300 people have made. I have about 20,000 pages of 25,000 pages of notes in a row. Not all my own, which I got from Rabbi Shachtman. About 300 people make copies of all 20,000 sheets. Every masechta that the notes available on. And it helps. You recreate. You look at 15 minutes, you can recreate the whole 3-hour share if you got it written up nicely. But you pay a price by taking good notes, I must tell you. You pay a price. You can't be as active in your mind participating in the mahalach of the share because you're busy writing everything. You don't think as much. You're much more passive.
Right.
Anyhow, the Mishnah here said, look at the Mishnah, the middle Mishnah on the page. I'll refresh your memories. Sukkah Shiva. The mitzvah of Sukkah is only to be observed for 7 days. Ketzad. Gomar Mila Echol, if you finished eating lunch on Hoshana Rabbah, lo yatire sukaso. Don't take down your sukkah yet. Why? Why shouldn't you? Because it's hutzah l'mitzvasa. It's been set aside for the mitzvah, and the mitzvah is operative until sundown, Shkiyas Hacham. Avol moedis hakelim min amincha olamala. Mimnei kvod yom ha'achdo shalchak. What do? You take out the utensils from after mincha on, mimnei kvod yom tov ha'achron. Okay? Now, the Gemara then goes on to say, "Ein lo kelim maho." What happens if you don't have any utensils to take out? You're such a poor person. So what did the Gemara say? What are you going to? So one of the suggestions is, "Adluke shragi," you light a candle. Because the candelabras would typically not be in a sukkah katana. Why would a candelabra not be in a sukkah katana? Because you're afraid it was going to burn down. In a sukkah gedolah, the Gemara says they used to put the candles. But Shraga b'mitalalta would be outside. Why? Because they're afraid it was going to burn down. So what do you do now? You bring in a little candle. You bring in a candle here to show I'm not eating in the sukkah. I'm posseling the sukkah. When are we talking about in this sukkah? When are we talking about posseling the sukkah? Which Shmini Atzeres? Our Shmini Atzeres or their Shmini Atzeres? Everybody says it's our Shmini Atzeres. All Rishon say that the sugya is talking about our Shmini Atzeres. What's unique about our Shmini Atzeres? The halach is you have to eat in the sukkah. But they were worried that what? That it looks like Baal Tosef. It's that ambivalence. On the one hand, the halach is you're supposed to eat in the sukkah. On the other hand, it's Shmini Atzeres. You don't eat the sukkah Shmini Atzeres. So what do? You eat the sukkah, and you somehow demonstrate it's nishta exactly a sukkah. That's how all Rishonim learned this particular sukkah. Except for the Rambam. The Rambam says the sukkah is talking about in Eretz Yisrael, where you will not be eating the sukkah based on Issa d'Oraisa. You eat the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, you violate the law. Baal Tosef, you can't eat 8 days in sukkah, Shmini Atzeres. So the question is, why do you have to do anything to disqualify the sukkah. One suggestion is pochis barba. You make the sukkah less than 4x4. What does that mean? The minimum size sukkah happens to be what? 4x4. Just decree. Or put in a candle. Don't do anything to it. I'm not sitting in it. That's not what I'm talking about. And indeed, all Rishayim say, Rambam, what are you talking about? So the Rav said, explaining the Rambam, that the Rambam develops a yisoid, a principle. That whenever you're doing a mitzvah, and that mitzvah has come to an end, how do you demonstrate that the reason why I did this mitzvah all along is because of what? Because of the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do something at the termination of the mitzvah which indicates that I'm no longer interested in this mitzvah. The famous, most famous example is the Vilna Goin. The Vilna Goin, Matzoi Pesach. The Gaon was makbid on making Havdalah on wine all year long. All year long. Never made it on Chamar Medida. Never on grape juice. Never on orange juice. Always wine. Except Matzoi Pesach. He went into a local bar and he bought a beer. Some say it was a Bud Light. Some say it was a Miller. It was a Machloikas. What did the Gaon bought? But he bought a beer. Now why did he make Havdalah on a beer? Because he wanted to show that the reason why I shied away from chametz the last 8 days was what? Was not because I suddenly acquired a distaste, a dislike for chametz. The only reason why I didn't, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. The second that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows me to eat chametz, I fresh chametz. Where did the Gaon get this from? The Gaon made this chumra up himself? No. The makar, said the Rav, was the Rambam Shita by Sukkah. The minute Sukkot is over, I demonstrate that the reason why I've been in this Sukkah for 7 days, not because it's been hot outside, and it's nice and comfortable and breezy in the Sukkah. Why am I in this Sukkah? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. The minute the Yom Tov is over, I demonstrate that I passed the Sukkah. I couldn't care less about this Sukkah. Couldn't care less about the Sukkah. Said the Rav, that's the Rambam Shita, and Hilchas Shabbos here as well. What does it mean that they blew the chatzotzros and they blew the shofar b'motzoi Shabbos lehatir es ha'om l'melachoseim? Why did they have to? What were they doing by telling when they blew the shofar? They were saying, go to a movie. Go do a movie. It's chol. And the reason why I haven't been doing any constructive activity for the last 3 hours is not because I'm lazy. Not because I'm tired. Not because I have nothing to do. I have plenty to do. So by engaging in malacha, the very first second that Shabbos has arrived, the very that Shabbos has exited, demonstrates that my Shmirat Shabbat is only l'shem mitzvah, not because of the fact that I happen to be what? Bored or unemployed. That I'm one of the Asara Batlonim, that I have nothing to do all day. That's the halacha which the Rambam is communicating. And that's why the Rambam disagreed with all Rishayim and said you blow not only on Friday night, but on Saturday night as well. And the Rav said, I know I told this to you, and his son Chaim disagreed, thought it's the wrong text, but the Rav said he believed that it's right in the Hoshanis of Sukkos. Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. In the Hoshana, which we say, which we don't walk around, we describe beautiful praises about the Shabbos. Hoshana, this about Shabbos, Kovas, Alpayim, Tchumamba, B'Shabbos, all different things. Here is phrase with the Yud. Hoshana, Yosheves Umamtenes Ad Kilois HaShabbos. Yosheves Umamtenes Ad Kilois HaShabbos. Which means, I'm sitting awaiting until when? Until Shabbos is over. What are you, ripped? That's a good Jew? Sitting and waiting until Shabbos is over? Yes! The minute Shabbos is over, I do malacha. To demonstrate that what? That for the last 24 hours and 40 minutes, I didn't do malacha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, lo tasa ka malacha. Right? So the letter Ches is Chosha Lemaher Biyah Shabbos. I anticipate and hasten what? The arrival of Shabbos. That's the letter Ches. Then comes the Yud, Yosheves Umamtenes Ad Kilois HaShabbos. I'm sitting and waiting until after Shabbos. Only the Rav could think of that. And that's what he said. That's when the Rambam's right. That's what the Rambam, Hilchas Perek Hay of Hilchas Shabbos. That's why you blow on Saturday night against all other Rishayim.
Did you make a blow on Saturday night too, according to the Rambam?
Of course you did.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He grits him in the mission entirely. That's correct. Of course you make Abdullah. But the difference is, the Rambam expects you to remember what he writes in Hilchas Tefillah. Mm-hmm. And the Rambam writes, once I paskind like Rav, that the halach is you're allowed to daven Marav when? After Plag. The Rambam quotes Rav's halacha and Rav Yoshia's halacha. Rav Yoshia says the Gemara, Soli shel motzoi Shabbos b'Shabbos. He daven Marav and said, Atochon Antonu at Plag HaMincha. At Plag HaMincha. He said, Atochan Antan. And the Rambam writes, you're allowed to say Havdalah al Akos after Plag. He expects you to remember that Perek Haftes of Hilchas Shabbos, Halochid Aleph and Yibayz. So now, does the mere fact that you make Havdalah, is that the signal that Malacha is permissible? Not necessarily. Because you will still have to avoid doing Malacha for nearly 2 hours after you daven Marv, said Atochan Antanu, and said Havdalah al Akos. 2 hours, you can't do malacha. 2 hours.
Christ without a
nair. Okay, you won't have a nair. That's correct. You're still yoytzer the mitzvah of Abdullah. Whether you shmek the besam or not, you're still yoytzer of Abdullah. You do bar mitzvah, you're still yoytzer of Abdullah. So, the only thing, according to the Rambam's vantage point, that will in effect indicate Shabbos is over and malacha is mutter, are the sounding of the chatzaytzers, the sounding of the shofar.
You're able to.
You don't have to. You're entitled to.
I'm a little confused. Is he relating historical fact or what they're allowed to? I mean, he's saying this is what they did. So
his view of history. Their view of history is something else. But you can't establish history whatever it is. How are you supposed to know? There are no history books.
I don't know.
There are no history books. So you have to speculate what history is. You have to speculate. That's all. Yes?
Why the other Rishonim assume that it talks about Chutz-Laharetz?
Because otherwise, why would I have to do anything on Shemini Atzeres? Other Rishonim say, I understand the tension. Because the Chachamim say what? Yeshuvi Yasvinan. But on the other hand, it might be Nisa what? And Isa Bal Tyson. So do something that makes it like Nishta Sukkah and Yah Sukkah. Just put in a light. Or bring in the pots. The Gemara says keep the pots in. The pots doesn't passel the Sukkah.
Is it coming before the new that?
Yeah. There are many Sugyot where the Gemara says Halon for Halahu. Here the Gemara didn't say it. That's why we're showing him at the debating. Sometimes the Gemara tells us clearly, this sugya is for Bnei Babel. This sugya is for Bnei Eretz Yisrael. You're right. When sometimes there are two divergent practices, say, halon v'halu. Here the Gemara doesn't say anything. That's why you have a machlokes. If everything was so perfectly clear, the Rambam wouldn't have a job.
It can't be the choice to pass on the sugya in Kutzlaretz.
What?
That can't be a viable choice.
No, it's not. You don't pass it by putting a nair.
With the other options of, you know, making it seem less than Dalai Lama.
That's correct. That option, the Rama doesn't quote that. Yeah. Fine. So that's what the Rama says. Furthermore, take a look at Rashi's comment on in the Chulin, page 5. Rashi's comment on page 5. Furthermore, look at Rashi. Rashi here says something which not all Rishonim agree to. Rashi says, Tkia, Arve Shabbosos V'yomim Tovim Lahavdil Esa'amin Amalacha Ubein Ashmash Token Lahavdim Mikodesh Lachol. Rashi throws in that they blew not only Erev Shabbos, but when? Erev Yontif. It makes sense that you would blow on Erev Yontif. Why would it make sense to blow on Erev Yontif? Because most of the activities are still prohibited. Most malachas are still prohibited. Yet, not all Rishonim agree with Rashi. And in fact, I would have expected, if I know Mr. Rambam well, I would have expected that the Rambam should tell me somewhere in Hilchos Yom Tov that they blew on Erev Yom Tov as well. And he doesn't. The Rambam is silent about blowing on Yom Tov. So I don't know what the Rambam's perspective is. Some Rishonim, the Ritva says, Rashi is wrong. The only time they blow is on Shabbos. So you'll ask me, why would they go ahead and only blow for Yom Tov, for Shabbos and not for Yom Tov? The answer is, because there's a significant difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. The penalty for doing malacha on Yom Tov is only a lav. The penalty of doing malacha b'shogeg is nothing. On Shabbos, the penalty of doing malacha b'shogeg because you thought it was weekday is a karm chatas. That you got to try to alert people. But an ordinary lav, you don't have to bother with that. So that is another machloikis as to whether or not they blew. Rashi here clearly takes the position that they blew on Yom Tov as well, says it black and blue. Black and blue. Yes. Next. Here comes another machloikis. Please look at the Rambam once again on page number 1, and then we'll see Taisvis on in Chulin, who discusses this sugya as well. I'm going to throw out the question, and I'm going to ask you to read Halacha Yotes again. Did all three times when they blew three different times. Did they blow a tekiah, true a tekiah? Or did they only blow a tekiah?
Only the first three.
Only tekiah.
What?
First three.
Good. That's what everybody says Shitas HaRambam is. The first three, it's only a tekiah. How do I know? Because he keeps writing. Vitokeya, vitokeya. And what's the clincher, Marvin? What does he write? At the end he says, vitokeya umeria vitokeya. They blew a tekiah, true a tekiah. So learn most people in Shitas HaRambam. Now we'll see. Rashi and Tosfos clearly disagree with that. Go back to page number 5, and I bracketed the Tosfos for you. No, not. Page number 4, excuse me. Page number 4. Tosfos, toward the bottom of the page, Sheish Tkiot. To my Shapirish HaKuntris, Shall you toke in Tkia Trua Tkia? Af al gav diktsat mashma likaman, the shalosh rishonos tikios hain, the katani hischel litkoa tkia shnia. Says Tosfos, lav dafka naka tkia. Says Tosfos, it appears as if the way everybody here read the Rambam is the way it appears in the text of the Brisa. The text in the Brisa says that the first time around, tokeya. Shnia tokeya. Tokeya. So the inference would be that what? They only blew a tekiah. Says Tosfos, that's not true. Instead of writing out every single time, tokeya, Maria tokeya, it was always a tekiah trua, but it meant all the time.
Usually,
what?
It usually isn't the silent. You do that the first time, and the rest are that's the same.
Good. That would be a good argument. That would be an excellent argument against Tosfos. And now Rashi and Tosfos are going to bring a proof from our Gemara. Now we can open up our Gemara, and we'll read another 2 lines. We are on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah had said that there is a minimum of 21 sounds on a daily basis and a maximum of 48. That's what the Mishnah said. Ein pochsin mi esrim v'achas tkios b'mikdash ve'ein mosifin arba'im u'shmoneh. Now we're reading the Gemara. We read the whole Mishnah already. Now we're reading the Gemara. Masnisin, our Mishnah, deloik Rabbi Huda, is formulated not in accordance with Rabbi Huda's opinion. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Huda Omer, hapoches lo yivchos misheva. The minimum amount of sounds is 7. Vahamosif lo yosef al sheish esrei. And the maximum happens to be 16. Asks the Gemara, but my commitment, what exactly is the nature of the debate between Rabbi Yehuda the Chachamim? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Tkia, Trua, Tkia, Achasi. They all agree that there were 48 notes. Question is it count as what? 16, when there's the maximum? Or does it count as 48? So if you look at the number of units that are blown, there are 16 units of tkiah to a tkiah. If you look at the number of sounds that are blown, it's what? It's 48, not 16. So Rabbi Yehuda savar tkiah to a tkiah achasi. The Rabbanan savre tkiah lechud, a true lechud. The Rabbanan count each one individually as what? As a separate tkiah. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi in the Gemara. Achasi. Mitzvah achas hein. V'chada chashiv lehu. They are considered one mitzvah. And the entire unit is considered what? One. Good. Now, if Rashi believes that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that all three of them are mitzvah achas, what are you going to think Rashi would have said had he decided to comment about the Chachamim? What would Rashi have said had he chosen not to rely on our ingenuity? But what would he say now that he says he's explaining the machloikas? See, had Rashi said, not mitzvah achas, had he just written the second thing, that it's one unit, chada unit, I have no problem. It's all one mitzvah. It's all one mitzvah. But it has, so you look at the unit as a whole, or do you look at each individual sound? But everybody agrees that each unit is the mitzvah. But if Rashi goes out of his way to tell us that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, that each one, that is a mitzvah, that the whole unit is mitzvah achas, what will now the Chachamim believe when they say 48? And in each unit, when it's 21, what's it? Each sound is what? Is a separate mitzvah. There's a separate mitzvah to blow a tkiah, a separate mitzvah to blow a truah, and a separate mitzvah to blow a tkiah again. Hence, there are 21 mitzvahs on a normal day. Maximum 48 mitzvahs. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. That is incredibly difficult. Is incredibly difficult. And I'll cite to you a famous machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban about the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Mitzvah of Kriya Shema. I haven't done this yet when we do brachas. That's one topic, still on Beis Lamed Aleph after 6 weeks, but I have not done this issue yet. Namely, are the three parshiyot of, is Kriya Shema of the day and night formulated as one mitzvah of Taryag or two mitzvot of Taryag? Are there two separate mitzvahs or one mitzvah? What? Okay, that's what the Ramban. You can't go wrong. The Ramban agrees with you. Very fine scholar. The Ramban agrees with you. The Ramban says it's only one mitzvah. To read the Shema. Pamayim b'chol yom korin es ha-shema erev avayim. And the Ramban asks a penetrating question against the Rambam with a principle which distinguishes, which tells us how to make the distinction. Says the Ramban, why is it that all four tzitzis that are hanging from our kanaf do not count as a separate mitzvah? Why is it that arba minim ulekachta v'priyei tzadar chapos mar do not count as four mitzvot? Why? Because arba minim shebaluva ma'akvin zezer. Taking one without the other is halachically insignificant. It's totally worthless. Even the Bahat said you have to eventually pick up all four. If you pick up only three, you get no credit, even according to the Bahat. So the Ramban has a principle that if you can be mekayim the mitzvah without the second part, then it counts as two mitzvot. And his concrete proof is tefillin. Tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, the Rambam himself counted as two separate mitzvot. Because they're not ma'akev one the other. If somebody has a bad arm, broke his arm, and his cast is not only over here, but it's on top of his muscle as well, he is exempt from tefillin shel yad. Because he can't put it on. It's a chatzitza. He can't put it on. But he puts on tefillin shel rosh. And you make both brachas, in fact. You make al mitzvah lahaniach tefillin, al mitzvah tefillin. Make both brachas. Why? Because tefillin shel yad is not ma'akev tefillin shel rosh. Therefore, says the Ramban, there are two mitzvahs. Two mitzvahs. Okay, so now, says the Ramban to the Ramban, I'm going to put you in the test case. You read Shema this morning. I'm sure you did. But you're going to skip Kriya Shema tonight. You're not going to get credit for them. Oh, let's do the one day. Last night you read Kriya Shema, and today you skip Shabbos. You didn't have Shabbos. You don't get credit for Kriya Shema last night? Of course you do. So how many mitzvahs should it count? Two. So using the Ramban's principle, how many mitzvot should you now look at a tekiah, true tekiah unit? Is it going to be three mitzvot or one mitzvah? One. And in fact, take the Ramban's question even further. Not only should the basic core unit be one mitzvah, what else should be one mitzvah? The whole blowing. If you're supposed to blow, whatever you're supposed to blow on any particular thing, you have to blow. The minimum is three. So for the carbon tumid, you brine three. You can't say that it's three mitzvot. Because if you blew a tekiah without a true, or a true without a tekiah, you're not going to the mitzvah. So why is Rashi telling me, asks the Ramban, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, chada mitzvah. It's chada mitzvah even according to whom? According to the Chachamim. You can count it as three notes, but there is no way to count it as three mitzvot based on the rule that if the one is ma'akev the other, under those circumstances, it cannot consist of a separate mitzvah of tariyag mitzvah. Can't count as a separate mitzvah. That's the question which many ask on Rashi by emphasis, by adding the word mitzvah, chada mitzvah. I didn't need those words. Yes.
Separately, I would say I don't agree with the Ramban's acquisition on Rambam about Shema, because Shema is a slightly different comparison, because with tefillin, it's two things you're putting on right at that time. With arba minim, it's four things you're supposed to pick up right at that one moment. Whereas
what happens according to Bahad? Where does it say that I have to do it this one moment? Let's assume I did one at 8 o'clock in the morning, one at 9 o'clock in the morning, one at 11. Are you Yotzer Mitzvah? Of course you are. 100%. In fact, the Gemara is going to quote Rabbi Yochanan. Then on Rosh Hashanah, how many sounds do you have to hear at Maker Adid according on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? On Rosh Hashanah, how many? Nine sounds. Three for Malchios, three for Zichronos, three for Shofros. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shoma Teisha Kolos B'Teisha Sha'ot Yoyotze.
That's within one time period, though.
9 hours.
But it's still one time period. But I'm saying,
what's the difference? It's 9 hours apart. Here, I said once in the morning, once at night. Well, why does one have to do with the other?
It's all parts, one part of the day. Here's one of the...
Well, so is the...
Shabbat, we say, is in the morning. Is this when you... Is that in... Is,
okay. That's the answer which the Rambam will give. That Kriya Shema is a function of the day. It's got two parts. It's one mitzvah. To read Kriya Shema during the day. During a day. Calendar day. Once at night, once during the day.
So
that's the Rambam. The Rambam didn't look at. That's the fundamental machlokes. How do you look at Kriya Shema? No, that's the difficulty. No matter how you want to look at it, would the Rambam ever say that if you read Kriya Shema Shalavis, you don't get credit? He never said such a thing. That would be the biggest kiddush on the planet. He would have to say it.
It almost sounds like it from his lashon.
Correct, but he would have to say it. He couldn't infer that. You'd have to say it. Let's continue the Gemara for a minute. Says the Gemara, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. What is the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Amakra uskatem trua. You shall blow what? A trua. That's by Bahaloyscha. That's in Parsha. Oh, the origin of Chatzoyces is Parsha's Bahaloyscha. So the Torah doesn't say you're supposed to blow a tekiah. What does the Torah say you should blow? You should blow a trua. So you happen to surround a trua with what? A tekiah and a trua. And a tekiah b'fanatua. So therefore it's all one unit. The Rabbanan, no. The Rabbanan say, Hahu l'pshuta l'fanel, l'pshuta l'achra hudasa. This halacha is to teach me that every single trua, indeed, what? Has to be preceded with a tekiah and followed with a tekiah. You can't learn that it's one unit. How do you know? If the Torah only said uskatam trua, what would I say is the halacha? What do you have to blow? Just the trua. Because the word means, the verb is blow. Trua, you blow a note called a trua. So the Rabbanan say you can't derive that it's one mitzvah. You have to derive something else from that. That you have to have a tkiya lefanel and a tkiya l'achrel. V'rabbanan maitamayu d'chsiv uvehakil es ha'om titka'u v'lo tariyu. When they assemble the people, says the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, who should blow the chatzaitzras, just blow a tkiya, not a trua. V'isal k'daitach tkiya trua achasi. Amar Rachmana palga the mitzvah avid or palga lo avid. If you say that it's what, as Rabbi Yehuda says, it's always a unit, you mean to tell me HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say do a half a mitzvah? Blow only a tekiah, not a trua? That's crazy. Therefore, says the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, the Torah wishes to tell you that each one is considered what? A separate unit. And Rashi Tosfos now takes this Gemara and says, this proves that I'm 100% right. This Gemara proves that I'm 100% right. Because what is the Gemara saying from the Pasuk of Tisku Velo Tariyu? That they are separate units, but every time you have a trua, what must you have? You must have a tekiah. Every time. So how can anybody claim, the way Rambam did, that in the time of the Mikdash, the first three rounds, what did they blow? A tekiah, not a trua. As a possible. So that's what Tosfos says here. The Gemara just didn't expound the whole thing nine times. Your question stands as well, why not do it the first time, not the last time? As I use the Gemara. But this is now a machloikis, the Rambam and Rashi. Rambam interpreted the Gemara literally, and he writes, Vitokeya, you only make a tekiah. And the last time you do is a tekiah to a tekiah. And it makes a lot of sense based on the fact that in the pasuk, when you want to gather people, what did the Torah say? Tisku velotariyu. Tisku, right? That is a tisku velo tariyu. What do you think you're doing when the first time when you're blowing? What are you doing? You're telling people to come back. telling people, you know, get ready. So maybe that's what the Rambam understood. Correct? So could be that this is the origin, this is the kernel of the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Could be that's the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Alright, we'll stop here, we'll continue next to Bach. And we'll talk about a famous issue, whether it's halach of chatzi, we'll continue with the Gemara, or whether it's a chatzi shir for a mitzvah saseh or not. One Friday night.